Yep, everyone knows we are recording. Okay, this is May 20th, 2026. It's 6:31 p.m. This is the monthly meeting for Grand Isle Consolidated Water District. Present, we have water commissioners and board members Janine Banks, Michael Inners, David Banks, and Matthew Brooks here. Rick Kohler is excused. We have SOS operators Joe Dennis and Warren Stedman. And we have someone named Michael who is also on the meeting on Zoom. Okay, so are there any additions to the agenda? Okay, hearing none. Review of previous meeting minutes, the draft April minutes. I circulated them. I think I circulated them twice. Anybody have any corrections or changes? Okay, does anyone want a motion to approve them?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposing? No, everybody's in favor. Okay, do we have any questions from members? Michael,
I've got a
yes.
question. It's not a, sorry, what is if does Michael have something?
Michael, do you have something? Okay, we can't hear you if you do.
I have what's strictly not strictly a question from member, but as a request from the listers for a list of our customers. I checked with VLCT. Their opinion was that it's at least the names and addresses are a public record. I think their purpose to the for the request is to assist in the reappraisal process. And unless the board says otherwise, I'm inclined to share it with them. I mean, the VLCT says it's a public record, so there's really no if that's the case, we have to share it with them. But I thought I'd bring it up before I just handed it over.
We've been
That's
sending
fine.
it to them every year.
Yeah, just names and addresses, not the financial, no financial information.
Okay. Yeah, it's a public record.
I just wanted to say and mention it before I just did it.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So, no questions from members. We'll move on to the operator's report. Joe?
Yes. We've located almost all curb stops in the pipeline replacement area. They're being marked with a grade stake and painted blue. A couple people have asked questions about what we're doing. I guess this did spark a question from a member. He was wondering when we were going to get some information, timeline of when it was going to start, because he was one of the houses that we needed to install a new line into their basement. So he was going to get a plumber lined up, and I was not sure who is bearing the cost of that plumber. And is that something we need to do, ahead of time?
Is this one of the ones that Michael Maynor had talked to us about, saying that there was going to be a need of a plumber and that we were going to end up having to cover that?
Probably. There was no easy way to get it there. I think there's two properties, maybe three, that we need to enter a new service into their house or, yeah, into the building. We'd be running into, digging out fresh pavement at the rescue building, which I know they don't want us to do that. And also another one, we'd be cutting down trees 2.5 feet in diameter. So it just made sense to run the water line straight into the building, core a new hole, and replumb it.
So if he has to get a plumber, is it going to be his plumber or our plumber?
I'm assuming it would be ours and it would be our responsibility. But, you know, I think we should wait until we talk to the contractor first and, you know, maybe bring this conversation up more towards the beginning. Just say, hey, you know, these ones need to be run into the building.
Yep.
Michael?
In a lot of ways, I think it might be better if it's their plumber and we pay the bill. Maybe Michael Maynard has some insight on that, but if it's their plumber, they're responsible for sort of being sure that it gets done right. Whereas if it's our plumber, we've sort of taken responsibility for stuff inside the house.
Yep, there is that.
And maybe Michael's got some insight of what happens elsewhere, but I'd feel better if it was their plumber, and we just make sure that we have that we've got a reasonable price. But that they pick the plumber and that they supervise the plumber's work inside their own house.
And, yeah.
But that's what we do with meter installations, for example. It's their plumber, right?
I think this is going to be some questions that come up between, you know, us and the contractor to figure out how to coordinate it.
Yes, coordinating it sounds like a potential nightmare.
Yeah.
People work, they're not home. You know, they want it done right at 7 o'clock at night or Saturdays, and that's all fine and dandy. I'm just concerned that their plumber, we'd end up with additional charges that are not related to this, but I guess we can sort that all out with an itemized bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another advantage of having to be their plumber is they would do the scheduling.
But right, doesn't that have to coordinate with us still?
There's still need to be some coordination, obviously.
Yeah, with the contractor that we don't have yet. Okay. Okay, good to bring that up, Joe.
Yep. I guess really the only other big thing was, the carbon changeout went very well. There's a few things we probably need to buy for next time. There's 10,000 pounds of carbon in each filter. There was probably 500 to 800 pounds of carbon left in the bottom of the filter. A hose really wasn't hosing it out. We tried a pressure washer, that didn't really work. So we ended up rigging up a 2-inch line to the hydrant out front, and using, you know, high water flow to move the volume of carbon out of the bottom of the vessel. So, we might have to spend a few $100 in parts just to get more prepared for next time.
Do the same thing with the hydrant?
Yeah, I mean, they use the hydrant anyway to fill their truck to make the slurry to, you know, pump it into the filter. We just had to use the other side of it. I mean, you know, we were cutting it close, and I don't know if the hose we were using is, you know, rated for that kind of pressure. We're using discharge hose off a pump. We probably have, you know, 80 pounds of pressure there.
Okay.
So they'll be, but other than that, you know, they started around 8 and wrapped up by 11:45.
Good. Okay.
Don't have the invoice yet, but I'm sure it'll arrive.
Yeah, I have a feeling it, you know, it'll be their same fee.
Like they quoted you about, I would assume it's going to be what they quoted us.
Yeah, it has been in the past.
There were no unusual events.
No.
Okay.
You know, a couple other miscellaneous charges, like the, getting diesel for the compressor rental. You know, those are minor, couple $100 charges.
Okay. Anything else?
Unless you have questions.
Our next carbon change is in 2 years, right, now?
Yep.
And just on the, okay. on the liens that are reported at the bottom, just let you know that there are four liens. Three of them on properties that are unoccupied or
okay,
and one is only a few hundred dollars left for her to pay it off, so
it's nice to hear they're being worked on.
Yeah, I mean the three that are unoccupied properties are probably uncollectible in the foreseeable future.
So they're all disconnected, though.
They're disconnected, or they're turned off at least. They're not officially. Only one of them is officially disconnected. The other two are just turned off.
Okay. I do think, Joe, I want to have you talk about the guy with the leak.
Okay.
The property with the leak, just so Matthew and David know what's going on.
Okay, so we have a property across from Ketch Road. He's talked about water in his backyard for quite a while now. It was all wet through the winter. He called us again this spring. This year, it definitely moved a lot higher up the hill on his property, and we were able to get a very strong chlorine residual. And the complication with this leak is his curb stop shuts off the water to his house, but it also shuts off the water to the leak. And we believe the line that was used was an existing fire district line from before Consolidated was even here. It's right in line with the 2-inch that Consolidated took over running down Ketch Road that ties into our main on East Shore South. and the leak is in the backside of his property. So what I guess the discussion was who is responsible for the leak. Typically, we are responsible up to the curb stop. Anything past that is on the homeowner. But this is kind of a unique situation where he didn't ask to, you know, acquire this 2-inch pipe. I'm assuming that's what it is. We don't exactly know what is in the ground, but the plans do show a 2-inch water main kind of just going to the middle of nowhere.
So it's not connected to anything?
Well, there's a curb stop in the back of the house that we can't operate. And I can't tell if it's teed off or in line. You know, it's about 8 feet off where the leak is happening, you know, and downstream. So it seems like this, you know, water line goes past, you know, wherever the curb stop is. I'm assuming this is an old 2-inch line that came up from the lake that fed this guy's house and, you know, maybe a camper out back or, you know, went into Champlain Estates. But, you know, it's odd.
And I think that because this line is something, I mean, we hooked him up originally to this and we okayed it originally. At least it appears that way. And since it doesn't go to anybody else, it doesn't affect anybody else, we ought to take and just right after the service line to his house, chop it off and cap it. And we pick up the $1,500 charge for it or whatever that's it's going to be. It's not really his fault. It's kind of a loose end, I think, that just never got taken care of. I mean, the line must stop somewhere. It must be capped somewhere, but somewhere between where it's capped and his home, there's a leak for him now. So,
yeah. If you want, I can show you on Google Maps, like I did with you, Janine.
That'd be helpful, I think.
Okay. Share.
Does it go under East Shore?
That's where it taps into.
It's on the west side of East Shore South.
Not to the west side.
Yeah, but the line we're talking about goes under East Shore South down along Ketch Road. It's an old line. It's connected to the about halfway down.
All right. Can you guys see my screen?
Yep.
Okay. So there's a 2-inch line that comes down Ketch Road that is our existing line. There's a curb stop right about here. We have a main line valve in the road that is on the plans. It kind of comes over and then loops back around. So we have a water main line valve here and a 2-inch curb stop here. There's a second curb stop for him that comes out. His line looks like it enters the house right about here. And it's right in line with that 2-inch. The leak is actually out here. Behind the house is a big stream that, you know, runs through here. And there's a curb stop right here, and there's a leak right about here. So it's kind of like this section of line that we have no idea what it is, where it goes, what its purpose is. Really, he just needs, you know, a service line to his house and, you know, doesn't need any of this junk that was kind of left there.
Is the Google Maps still accurate? There's been no additional construction back there. That's all just empty back there.
Yes.
Correct. Still? Yes. Yeah. There is nothing over here. You know, we have a connection right here, and we have a connection right here, but we have a 4-inch main that runs right down this road too.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, not entirely sure, you know, the 2-inch comes across the street and it looks like it, you know, might have continued up this way at some point. And, you know, they attached our 8-inch to it, and then it looks like they just used that to feed his house. And possibly capped it somewhere out here. I use dowsing. I don't, you know, I know it's not 100% accurate, but we did get it following this curb stop right along this stream and, you know, and going across the street here.
I wonder if that cleared area there off of Brigantine used to have a trailer on it or something.
I don't know. That stream is pretty deep. This is all wet.
That was all done when you were
25 years ago. So, kind of a unique scenario. There's been a little bit of discussion about it, and we think, you know, Grand Isle should just take care of it. Just because we don't exactly know what happened back in the day. You know, a lot of these rule or changes or, you know, attachments, connections that were done back then do not meet our standards now.
I think that, you know, if we just decide to take this on as our issue, that he needs to know clearly that any other leaks in his service line will be his responsibility.
Yep.
We're willing to cut this off right after it connects to his house and say that.
The hard part is just not knowing like exactly what's down there. But, you know, there is quite a bit of water flowing, you know, for it to give me such a strong chlorine residual. I believe it's right there. And, you know, it's probably anywhere between 4 and 6 gallons a minute. So, I mean, that's a lot.
So the.
I mean, that's 648,000 gallons a quarter at 5 gallons a minute.
Yeah, that's a lot of water. And I think it should be capped as soon as possible.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if I get the go-ahead, I can try to do a little more research on his property tomorrow. And then I am off of work on a mini vacation Wednesday through Saturday next week. So we can try to do it Monday or Tuesday. If not, it might have to wait.
Probably not Monday, unless you want to pay overtime.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah. Which I don't think we do want to. It just doesn't sound like it's an emergency.
No, it's not. It's not an emergency. You know, we're keeping up with it, but it's just a nuisance.
Yeah. It's pretty clear it's not his service line, right? It's
right.
So we don't know what it really is, but it's not his service line. It's past from the road to his house would be his service line.
Right.
Okay, do we need a motion? Anyone want to make a motion that we cover the charge? And cap it right after the turn to his house.
Second.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor? Okay, nobody opposed or abstaining? Okay. There you go, Joe.
Perfect.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Questions for Joe? Okay, engineers report. Don't know why they're not here.
Well, bypass and go to the treasurer's report?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, let me get the.
Did you want to send Michael an email?
I'm going to.
Contact? Yeah.
All right, there's the budget report you all got. There's really not a whole lot of difference from last month, other than we had another month's worth of routine expenses. We will have the carbon. We don't have that invoice yet. That'll be a $29,000 bill. But we're at the point where for being one third of the way through the year, this is to the end of April, we have spent less than one third of our budget for operating expenses. So that's good. We're on track there. The propane is definitely going to be way over when all is said and done. We got another delivery and just seems to be keep adding up. Other thing is we have a small bond payment of $16,000 due at the end of June, which is this line right here from the backwash. Not the backwash. This is just a miscellaneous work that was done, I think. That's an older bond. The GAC is the $50,000 one, and the backwash is the $6,500. So that bill's due. We'll pay it. We've got plenty of cash on hand. And that is pretty much it. We're on track, you know, for user fees. We still have money coming in from the March billing. We'll be where we expect to be. And we've had a second new connection come in, so that will go up. The main thing with the meters is based on Joe's analysis, we're now counting $750 of the connection fee towards the meter hardware. We used to do $500. So instead of putting 3,000 in towards the reserve fund, it'll be 2,750 towards the reserve fund and 750 towards the meter and hardware. We could, we did not do it retroactively for the two previous ones that had been submitted this year, but we could. I don't know. Which would put another 500 into the new connection meters line. If people have a preference on that, I'm just inclined to kind of just to let it be, since we already processed them that way. But we could switch $500 over to for those first two connections, which were still split $3,500. And this will become important when we talk about the bids. We do have $600,000 in the reserve fund. We also have $287,000 in the operating budget. And when we talk about the bids and the bond, keep that in mind, that we have basically $900,000 in cash.
I wish I had that.
I wish that too. but we were keep, yeah, there's a reason for having a reserve fund. I think we'll probably see why when talking about the bids. That's it. That's really nothing else unusual going on.
Okay.
We're gonna have another hit on excavation from the discussion we just had.
Right. Okay, any questions for Michael? Do we want to talk about the capital plan, Michael?
Yes. Have a little bit of a discussion with and actually I have a meeting with Northwest Regional Planning in a few weeks in June to see if they can give us some technical assistance. We had previously had a pretty informal capital plan. It was more of a spreadsheet and a list than a real formal plan. But most of the things on it we've done or have become moot. So I did want to start putting together a more formal capital plan and looking at things that we know there's a building maintenance that's going to be needed. We know that some of our equipment is, has a fixed lifetime and will need to be replaced. Maybe it's even 10 years out, but try and plan, in advance for the things we think will need to be replaced, and actually put together a formal capital plan and adopt that. That'll help us make sure that the amount of money we're putting in a reserve fund is going to be sufficient for the things that we might need to do in the future. I feel instinctively that it is, but actually doing analysis would be good. And if it tells us we're fine, then that's good news. And if it tells us we're not, then we have time to do something about it before it becomes a crisis. That would require, some support from people like Ward and Joe for their knowledge of the system, and it'd be good to have at least one other board member involved. So it's not just me.
Okay. Well, when are you meeting with them in June? Is it before the next meeting?
No, I think it's the 18th. It's my after meeting with her. Let's see. The bond bank is, it's like it's the day after our next meeting.
Okay.
The bond bank has some funds available to help some of these things. So that's kind of how I found this.
Okay. Do you want a volunteer before you meet with them to meet with you? Or after?
I think the work will start after, but it would be nice to identify somebody beforehand.
Okay. Thinking Rick might be interested in helping with that.
That would make sense. He's not here, but.
Right. He's not here.
But it's easy to volunteer him.
Right. Well, he's been asking, you know, if he, what we want him to do anything. I wanted to talk to him about clerk. Clerk is still a problem for me. I'm just not good at getting these things posted in a timely manner. But anyways, so maybe, Michael, do you want to reach out to him or do you want me to?
Why don't you reach out to him just as, yeah, okay. if he's talked to you about things he wants to do. It would mostly mean, you know, we'd initially have a couple of meetings with Warren and Joe to look at the equipment we've got and estimate lifetimes and things like that. And yeah, and maybe some meetings with Northwest Regional Planning people if they, you know, if they decide to go in on this, to actually put together a formal document. That's where we did last time. We got to the point of having the list and the kind of what, here's the things we think are going to come up in the next 10 years sort of list. And we never turned into a formal document.
Right.
But it, you know, includes things like resealing the tanks, you know, which is going to come up soon and has to happen every so many years. The carbon now, we actually have a plan for the carbon, the 4-year rotation. But it's other things, you know, the chemical feed pumps, we replace those, but they have a finite lifetime.
Yep. Okay. All right. I'll send him a message, see what he says.
Yep.
So I sent an email to Jason and Michael Maynor and a text to Michael Maynor, have not heard back. So. Any questions for Michael? Anybody else want to volunteer, David or Matthew, instead of Rick? Okay.
I got Matthew doing the IT stuff.
If it's during the week, I can't do it with work.
If we're meeting with regional planning, it'll probably be daytime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's Zoom, it'll be daytime. They don't work evenings and weekends. You know, they might do 4:30 or something, right? But
yeah, and maybe Rick can get around that, but Matthew, you probably can't at this point in your career.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I'll talk to Rick.
The convenience for me is I work at home, so it's possible for me to, you know, attend a meeting for an hour on Zoom, that kind of thing.
Right.
But the work we do, even meeting here at the plant, we can do other after hours, right? Within reason.
Okay. IT committee report, I imagine you don't have anything much going on, or do you?
No, I got nothing going on, really. I think since the last board meeting we had, I did join the Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Center. So if I spoke about that last meeting, then apologies for repeating myself, but I did get that all signed up and going. It's no cost for us as a board, since the state of Vermont funds it for municipalities. And what that basically does is it's just a system where if there's a vulnerability that's been discovered in some kind of system, they send it out to all of the users as like a, hey, heads up, this has been a problem for other people. It might be a problem for you too if you meet X criteria. So, but other than that, I got nothing going on.
Yeah, I just forwarded you another thing which may or may not be of interest. Or maybe it's the same thing. It's but it's sponsored by the Vermont League of Cities and Towns. At least the notice came from them. So it may be redundant. I sent it to your GICWD email.
Oh, I just got it. Okay.
Yeah, I just sent it because you mentioned it. I remember it just came in yesterday. So when you started talking about it, I thought that reminded me of that I had that and I could send it to you. It may be redundant. There's a lot of redundant stuff happening around this area. So use your own judgment. Just thought you should be aware of it.
Yep, thank you. But other than that, I got nothing to report.
Okay. Old business, open commissioner positions. We still have two open positions. Just still
out there. I know one way to fill them. 50% rate increase.
Yeah. Yeah, the current board's gone haywire. Your bills are going to go up. You guys need to join and talk some sense into them. And the other thing that, you know, obviously that we wanted to go over was the engineer's report, the bid tabulation. There were, you know, two responses. One was like 1.7, the other one was like 1.3, roughly.
1.5.
1.5?
Yeah.
0.57.
Okay. 1.57, okay. So, you know, the cheapest one is a great option, and I guess that, I don't know exactly what happens now, but the engineering firm is reaching out to Cortland Construction, which was the low bidder, to see, you know, he needs to get financial information from them or whatever to make sure that they actually are a good entity that is capable of doing this project. I guess that's what it is. Maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on this.
Yes, to qualify them, right.
Yeah. And they expected to have all that information tonight and be able to talk to us. But I don't know where they are. I have not heard from them again. The easements, I'll jump back to that for a second. And that's, I thought that everything was all set, but it turns out that the lawyer's office did not send the initial people earlier on the form that they needed to sign off on, another form. So they have been resending this form to those people. I don't know where they stand on getting all that back. But we did get the easement from the church signed, and Tim Olver is all set now. And there was another one that came through. So basically, I think we have all the signed easements. Whether or not we have that authorization document from everyone, I don't know, but we have the majority of them. So the only one totally outstanding is the school, and I think we should be all set besides that.
The school will eventually come, but it's going to take time.
Right. So that will just be an outlier in our project here.
Yeah. School wants water.
Right. So what do we do? Do we have to, I mean, is this something that, the bidder that we choose is more or less decided for us, or is this something that we need a motion for choose one?
Yeah, we need to actually award the contract.
So that's through a motion we award it.
Yeah, but I'm not sure we can do it if we don't have the bidder fully qualified yet. So it's kind of curious have that. The bond amount is 1.6. We've already drawn about $26,000 on an interim loan that would go into the bond. So that plus the bid is pretty much it's pretty much the entire bond.
Well, it's 1.63, wasn't it?
1.57. Oh, what?
No,
1.63. Yeah, 1.63. But it still isn't going to cover everything. But we have unreimbursed engineering expenses that we've already paid that I haven't drawn against the bond yet. So what's going to end up happening is we're probably going to need to pull some funds out of a reserve fund near the end of the project, but it won't be a huge amount. It'll basically be for covering the remaining engineering work.
Okay. And we need to get this bid awarded so that we can get moving on this, I would think.
I know we can't
do it tonight, but what do we need to do? I mean, we don't
want
to wait till the June meeting.
I think we'll need a special when he's ready to.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to wait another month to get construction going.
Right. I'm surprised the engineering firm isn't here.
Yeah, I wonder if they thought it was next week or something. I don't know. What's the, this is the
I this is already kind of I talked to him last Friday or last Thursday about. I said, I assume we can wait till the meeting next week to decide this. And he replied, yes, we should have all the information by then and be able to discuss it. So,
yeah, I'd say we should do a special one that as soon as we're ready to award.
Right. Great. Oh, I have an answer. Janine, I can join. The link on the website is not working.
That's how I got on.
That's how I got on.
That's how all of us got on.
I didn't come off the link, but I didn't have any trouble getting in.
There he is. Oh, I can. No, sorry.
I got it off my calendar. So.
You can copy and paste it. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
It may be something he's got set up for his security setting on his browser or something. Who knows? I have stuff that won't work at work. That doesn't work at work, for example. But it works everywhere else. There's something that constantly runs water into the waste.
Yeah.
Is there a leaky valve or something?
Yeah, it's been that way for quite a few years. The decision was made not to try to do anything about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that resolved.
It's just like it's like a running faucet level of. So it's not trivial, but it's. One of the valves is leaking somewhere.
Yeah, we think it's on the filter 6, I think it is.
In the back?
Yeah, those two filters, there's a little valve down near the bottom that constantly leaks. And we talked about replacing it quite a few years ago, but the decision was made not to worry about it.
Which water is it? Is it leaking finished water or is it leaking lake water?
Probably lake water, for sure.
Although the pumps aren't lining, there shouldn't be any pressure coming.
There we go.
Well, the system's online.
Hi, Jason.
I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yes.
You can. Oh, I can hear you too. I was having some audio issues.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
So you're up.
Okay. So we have gone through the bid analysis for Cortland Construction, and we've forwarded that to the state for the state's review. They have to review and concur with the bid analysis for awarding to Cortland. And so based on our bid analysis review, we are recommending award to Cortland Construction, in the amount of $1,371,015.51. So when we do our bid analysis, we go through, we review the bid tabulation, which is the summary of pricing from each contractor versus the total project cost. We check references. We did check references with three separate references with engineering, other engineering firms that were of similar size projects or larger. to get feedback on Cortland Construction. We check their banking and their bonding to make sure that they are bonded, adequately bonded for the project, and that they haven't defaulted on any projects. And we also check banking to make sure that they have adequate financial stability, but financial backing as well, and from the banks, from the their banking institution. So based on all the information, we are recommending to award to Cortland Construction. We do need to get concurrence from the state. Again, as I said, we've said the bid, sent the bid analysis to them for their concurrence as well. I'm not expecting an issue, but it's just a matter of getting all the people on board at the same time.
So we as a board don't need to approve this. It's just
So no, you should, the intent would be to concur with the recommendation. That said, I think that it'd be good to get some response from the state first.
Right.
And what did you say the price was?
$1,371,015.51.
Wasn't the bid like 1.5 something?
I thought it was higher too. Yeah,
like 1.57.
So sorry. So that's the base bid. The total with the ad alternate, which is the Thibault Terrace piece, is $1,586,238.77. Sorry,
I was excited for a second.
Reading the wrong number.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we want the Thibault Terrace included. And I was assuming that we were looking at something pretty close to 1.6.
That's the total number, right? With the ad alternate piece. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yep. I think we want to get the Thibault Terrace out of the way.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So I think it's another time bomb.
Right.
Yeah. And while the main problem is that our bond amount is not much above.
So bonding was
1.63, I think.
Yep. And I can actually, will this allow me to share, or does somebody need to give me permission?
No, looks you like should I be able
can,
to share.
Looks like I can share. Tell me when you can see this.
We can see it.
Okay. I just want to scroll down. So here's the total project cost. I actually need to make an adjustment on this. But yeah, the bond total available funding was 1 million. The bond amount was $1,684,452.
No, the bond was 1.63.
There's subsidy, which is 39,000. Sorry, that's the total funding available. And then the PCF reimbursement fund, that's for the contaminated soils.
We got some of that already, I think.
Yep. But that's, so this is reflecting the total project cost. So that plays into the total funding for the project.
Does this include your engineering costs?
It includes everything.
So 1.793 is the everything.
No, I've got to make an adjustment because this is only 1.5. I was using the incorrect number. So this needs to be adjusted.
So it's going to be close to 2 million when we're all said and done.
Yep.
So,
but this will include everything.
So we will be looking at having to put some of the reserve fund money into it.
Right. That's what Janine had indicated, I think, last week or the week before when we were still going through the bid analysis.
About 325,000, it looks like.
Yep.
Yeah, I wish we put some of them already in because I haven't drawn down the engineering costs. So we've already put some money in that we haven't gotten back yet.
When you say that, Michael, what do you mean? You've paid for some stuff already out of your reserves and not requested reimbursement?
not requested reimbursement yet, which I assume we need to do in order to get the subsidy. I assume we'll have to run it through to get the subsidy.
Correct. So I think, yeah, right. To maximize your subsidy, you should run all of the engineering costs through the program, because that subsidy is on planning money, not on construction money. Okay. So in order to maximize the subsidy, you should run all of the planning. So the PER money, the planning money, that's all the permitting, and all the engineering costs through the program to maximize that subsidy.
Okay. We have copies of all those invoices set aside. So
yeah. If you need help with that, just let us know. We can provide you with whatever you need. If you don't have something, but that would be the best approach, I'd say.
And then we'll get it back, and then it'll be rolled into the bond, and then we'll have to use the reimbursement money to cover some of the construction.
Correct.
Yeah.
So $375,000 is more than Janine was thinking it was going to be, but.
It would be about $325,000 roughly. And the other thing is, we do have that one, bond payment we're not going to have to pay this year that we do have in our budget.
Right. We can just apply that $100,000 towards the project. I think it's actually
$109,900.
Oh, it is just $100,000. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure where the nine was in the. That's $100,000 basically. Somebody's calling us. So we're gonna take some reduction in our cash position, but we do have the money to cover it. So
right, we knew this might happen.
Yep. So one thing that might be beneficial because you meet monthly is to do a conditional concurrence. Conditional upon approval of the state, so that if they get back to us, next week, and they're good with everything, then we don't have to wait for the board to vote. We don't have to wait until next month for the board to vote. Up to you guys. But if you approve or concur with the recommendation to award to Cortland Construction contingent upon concurrence from the state, then that kind of sets you up to be able to move forward once we hear back from the state.
We would need to revisit it. You would be ready to go ahead once the state signs off.
Correct. That's right. Yep. So up to you guys. If you'd like to do that, or if you would prefer to wait to hear from the state, and then we can reconvene again next month to do the formal concurrence. It's up to you guys.
I would say is we could do that, but if the state comes back with ifs, ands, or buts, or things about it, then we would like to potentially call a special meeting to discuss that, to keep this moving as quickly as possible.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, if there's something that comes back, we can definitely, you guys will be part of that conversation. So we can definitely, have another meeting if necessary. But if they come back and they're good with it, then we can just keep moving forward. Yep.
So it would be good if you could redo the bid analysis report with.
I will. Yes. Yep.
With the final. I think you do want to go ahead with the Tebow Terrace rather than we've come this far.
Right.
If we put it on the shelf, who knows? Who knows? Right.
Yeah, that's fine. I can. That's a quick update. I can get that done. Okay.
I guess I'll make the motion that we do a conditional approval to award to Cortland Construction, including the Tebow Terrace add-on, conditional upon approval by the state.
I would second that.
Okay. Great. Any questions, any discussion on this? Okay, all in favor? Anyone, nobody's opposed or abstaining? Okay, all in favor.
So I'll make that
conditional
update.
Conditional approval.
I'll make that update, and I will send it to you guys. And I will do tomorrow touch base with the state and just see where they're at with the review. And then if and when I hear back from them, next steps, assuming everything's good on their end, next steps would be to schedule a pre-construction meeting with Cortland.
Okay. And send the bid analysis report. I like a copy of it. I'm sure Janine does. I'm not sure who else wants one, but when you get the corrected numbers.
I'll send it. I can send it to everybody. However you want it. Yep. For sure.
And I will, I think I have everything I need. I just haven't run it through the state. And if that's the way to go, I'll start running the, all of your engineering, preliminary engineering work. When does that subsidy cut off?
So that subsidy is for planning and design only. And it's available. So it's principal loan forgiveness at the end, Michael. Yep. So as long as you get everything in before they close the loan and finalize the loan, you're good to go.
It won't, you just moved on to phase to another phase of the project. So those invoices wouldn't count, right?
They would. So that's correct. So step three invoices won't count towards planning and design. However, okay, at the end of the day, when this project is all done, let's say, I don't know, end of the year or next spring or whatever it is, that final number, they're going to close the loan based on the final total project cost. Right. So everything kind of rolls forward. And then once they have a final number, they issue final loan documents, they'll apply that principal reduction, that subsidy to the principal. It'll be principal loan forgiveness at the end of the project. So you can reimburse those at any time, or request reimbursement for those at any time, as long as it's before the loan is closed, formally, officially closed.
And how do we access the funds during construction? Because we don't have the money up front, obviously.
Yep. So it's the same. So it's the same thing. So there's it's a simple reimbursement process that would happen on a monthly basis. So the contractor is gonna have monthly requisitions. And typically what happens is those get paid and then that reimbursement is submitted to the state. So, I can put a cash flow together for you so you can get an idea of what that looks like, Michael. And you can see like what levels of requests would typically come in from the contractor for a pay request on a monthly basis. On a project of this size, it's probably going to be, max $200,000, somewhere in that range on a monthly basis. So that would then go into the state for reimbursement after we sign the requisitions. And then they reimburse within, it can be up to 3 weeks, but as little as 2 weeks.
Okay. So we have enough float to cover that. If it's those sorts of numbers.
Yeah.
And that's what a timeline for reimbursement.
That means that we got to turn around the reimbursements promptly, that's all.
Yeah, and if you're familiar with the reimbursement, it's the same reimbursement form.
It's a pain in the butt, but I know, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, so this one should be a little simpler, though, because it's just a one-liner. It's just their reimbursement request for the requisition, not a bunch of invoices that you might have to put in. So, but it is a little bit of a pain in the ass, the form, so.
Yeah. But I've done them, so. It's just that they won't do two in a month. I discovered that the hard way.
That's correct. Yes. Yep.
So you got to have everything ready to when you send it in, or else they'll bounce the second one.
Well, yeah. So you'll have a, we can schedule the meetings to line up for whatever you need or whenever you feel you need to submit that information. And you'll have a preview of what the requisition will look like before we get to the monthly meeting where we would look to execute the requisition. So there's a bit of a lead up to it, Michael, so you can see and have maybe have the requisition started, and then we can execute the requisition at the meeting, and then you can be ready to submit it to the state for reimbursement like right away.
Okay. Yeah, that's I mean, if I need to, I'm going to go ahead and not renew any of our CDs temporarily and let them roll into regular funds so that there's no penalty to withdraw them.
Sure.
But I'm not going to prematurely pull any of them either. I'm just going to let them, as they come for renewal, I'm just going to not renew them.
Yeah. Okay.
That way we have the cash flow.
Yep. And has your prior loan already expired? Has that been closed? Paid that? No, not yet. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was end of 25 last time we talked.
Oh no, sorry. That one's done.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
We have other ones too. I mean, but that,
yeah,
the $150,000 one is gone.
Yeah. Okay. I thought so. Yeah. Okay.
And we budgeted to pay $100,000.
Right. I remember that.
We're not going to have to because we don't have to start paying until next year.
Yep. Yep.
Right. It's the year after construction finishes that it starts.
Correct. So it'll be a year from substantial completion.
Right.
So depending on how far they get this year, maybe they finish it this year, but if they finish it in the spring and we do substantial completion in the spring, it'll be a year from, so it'll be 28, spring of 28 when the loan would close. So you'd have even more time.
Yeah. Well, let's assume it gets done this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's our hope. Okay. Let me know when the pre-construction meeting is set for.
Yeah, we got a couple steps to before we get there, Janine, but right, we will coordinate. I'll coordinate with you and who else wants to be there? I'm assuming Warren and Joe, Janine, Michael.
Yeah, that should.
Okay.
I should be a part of it. At least by Zoom.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we can have that option available, but we would come up. We would want to do it in person, probably at the water plant. But okay, we've got a couple.
That's easier for me than going down to Burlington.
Oh yeah, no. We would want to do it there. We would come to you guys. Everybody would come up there. So we have a couple steps before we're there. But I'll copy everybody on the meeting schedule. We'll throw out a couple dates to make sure that it works for people.
Okay.
Nothing ever works, but. For meetings.
Yeah. Nothing will work for all of us.
We can do it in the evening too. I mean, it doesn't have to be during the day. You know, if you really need to be there, Michael, we can make it work at a time that is convenient. So we can work on those details. But we, like I said, we got a couple steps before we get there.
Yep.
Okay, any other questions for Jason? Glad you were finally able to join.
Yep.
So I wanted to get this rolling.
Yeah, understood. Okay. All right.
I will tell you, just recap the easements. There's been a little bit of funkiness with that, but the majority of them, all of them are set except for the school, with the possible exception of a few that didn't sign some agreement form because the lawyer neglected to send them out initially to a few, but they're working on collecting those and should be pretty much underway with that. I didn't get a final answer from her, so.
Okay. So technically before we award, we need to have those in place.
Okay, I'll check with her tomorrow then and send an email tonight and find out what she says about getting them completely all tied up and done. But there is the exception of the school.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. All right. What are the still the same struggles with the school?
Yes, they don't know who owns them.
They don't know who owns it, right? That's the same. Well, still the same.
We know who owns it, but the paperwork's messed up. Yeah, and unfortunately the education attorneys are busy elsewhere.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm gonna suggest that the school contract with a different attorney to get this done if our usual education attorney just can't get to it. So
I mean, technically we could award the contract and for the time being exclude the work for the school.
They can't start the work until they get the easement. Yeah.
Correct.
I told the superintendent that the school wouldn't have water in the fall if we didn't get this done. So,
right. So if
that's what
if
I was going to say. I don't have any issues. I don't have any kids. You guys won't have water if you don't get this done.
So if it does become an issue, though, I think we can. Yeah.
I had Harry talk directly to the school's attorney. So.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll need to push on those. I mean, if there's anything we can do to help with those, let us know, because we'll want to make sure we're there with all the easements before we award.
Okay.
Another issue came up earlier, which I might as well raise while you're here. For the folks who need to do internal plumbing.
Yes. Oh.
Because we need to relocate their service line entrance.
Yep.
My thought was that the best approach was to have them arrange for the plumber and just coordinate with our, you know, to hook up the water, and yep. Then we would cover the cost, but we would not make the arrangements and supervise their plumber.
That makes sense. The one question is whether you are going to look to get that cost reimbursed.
I think the answer is yes, but since we have money we have to take out of reserve anyway, it doesn't really matter. We're going to go over the
It gets a little bit nuanced if you're looking to get reimbursement, because the technically it would be sort of a small purchase. So in order to do a small purchase, you would need to get multiple quotes for a vendor.
Since we're going to go over the bond amount anyway, we could do what we did with the control panel here on the last project. We'll just pay for it straight out of operating funds.
Okay. But I mean, honestly, I think that if people are willing to do that, like you're saying, that's the simplest way to do it. If people are willing to hire somebody that they want to have do the work.
Yeah. My thought was that keeps us from having being responsible for anything inside their house.
Yep.
Right. Their plumber, they supervise them. They arrange what they want.
Agreed.
You know, and we'll cover the cost because it's, you know, it's our fault they have to do it, but we're not doing the work in any sense of the word.
Yep. That makes sense.
Who's going to be the one actually coring the hole through the concrete? Their plumber?
It'll have to be the plumber.
So we'll have to make sure, you know, their plumber is comfortable doing that, or has the ability to do it.
Yep.
Do we have a list of plumbers that we can recommend to these people?
At that point, we're kind of in the, I think we want to steer clear of that.
Yes.
Well, the problem is, I think that, you know, if you tell me I have to hire a plumber, I don't know where the hell to go to get a plumber. Well, you can't hire anybody these days to do small projects at your home, you know, and I don't want that holding up our whole project.
Right, and good luck finding one that'll call you back.
Right, why I thought it'd be better if we had the plumber, but I agree that it makes sense to not be responsible for work done inside their homes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
I've got my liability hat on when I'm thinking about that. Is it, you know?
Yep.
Well, you're right. It's a good point.
We bring it to their basement wall, and that's where our work stops.
Right, exactly. Yep.
We can
pull a list of plumbers together. I mean, you guys probably know some. I mean, Joe, you guys probably know several.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I mean, we can do that and see. It's just a matter of making sure that the homeowners actually reach out to them, unless they want to choose a plumber and then we help coordinate with that plumber to get the work done, you know, as opposed to relying on the homeowner to get the work done. Because there is going to have to be, you know, the contractor is going to get there and they're going to stop and they're going to stub outside, basically bring the water line up to the foundation. And then ideally that contractor, the plumber would be there at the same time to do the plumbing work and tie into it, or shortly thereafter.
Because at some point their water service will be shut off.
That's right. So that's why, you know, they're going to install the new water service to a point, and then ideally right behind them, the plumber is coming through and doing some of the work in the house, maybe pre-work in the house, and then making the connection outside the foundation the same time or shortly thereafter.
So that will need to be coordinated between the contractor and the homeowner and the plumber.
Yes, correct. And we can assist with some of that, and that's fine. We've done that in the past. It's not really an uncommon thing. I mean, it happens where you have to do that type of coordination, and we can help facilitate that.
Good. Okay. Okay, so you'll put together a list of plumbers?
Yeah, we would just need to know who the plumbers are for the different properties so we know who to coordinate with. But we can cross that bridge a little bit. Again, we got a couple steps before, even more steps before we get to that. So.
Right. Okay, well, something to keep in our thinking caps then. And
yeah, I'll put a list of plumbers together, though.
Okay. Okay, any other questions for Jason? Okay.
Right.
Anybody have anything else they want to discuss? Because we are at the end of the agenda. Unless I missed something. Any new business?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Motion to adjourn. 7:43 p.m. Thank you guys very much. Glad you were all Thanks. Here.
Thank you. Have Take a good care. Night.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. So Mike, I'll stop the recording.